Hey guys, it's Friday. Welcome. We're just sharing the broadcast right now. I'm getting it out there. Excited to be back with you. Excited to have you back. We've just been having great times. Mine won't let me share it for some reason, which is just awesome. But yeah, we've been having just great times, and we have Barry Adams and Brian Christian and Larry Pearson, and it's just been a great time just hearing like real just revelation unfold in the moment, fresh, hot off the press.
Yeah.
It was good. Like there was some amazing stuff in that. That's us hearing us.
Yeah, not letting me share though.
Yeah, it's not letting me share as me. But if you guys want to take a second too and share the broadcast, that would be greatly appreciated. It helps us to reach more people and to be able to share.
Does it let you share it up onto Facebook again? Try doing it again.
Well, the problem is there's only one live stream.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going back to our page here. I'm hitting share, write a post. But I don't want to share as the. There we go. Now I got it. There we go. Sorry about that, guys. They changed the way that you share things from a page you manage now. So you go share, and then at the top, when you go to share it, click write a post. Up here, just click on that and then pick John Brown. They just switched something around on us. Good old Facebook. We also like to thank them for letting us live stream. We don't want to complain too much. Also, just to let you guys know, you can get the stream on YouTube as well. We are live on YouTube every week. You can subscribe to the channel. The full library, I think we're only missing the first four episodes. We have a full library there. And you can go and get the journey there and be able to go watch back episodes and all that, and also notify you when we're live. And it's a good way. YouTube's a very good platform for what we're doing. So it's good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
I was out in Brantford this week. I got to go hang out at a youth center there.
Nice.
Which you already know, but I'm just letting everybody else know. Yeah. It was a great time. And got to just help some kids learn how to record music, and got to meet some kids who I had met before who are now, you know, going to Bible study and believing in Jesus and having encounters with God. They're having an Alpha weekend and stuff coming up, and I'm excited for them. So,
right.
Come on.
That's good.
Let us know if you're out there. Drop a comment. We can see the comments, guys. And we can then, you know, maybe God's going to put something on your heart that we need to flow with. We don't know. So just make sure you interact, be a part of what we're doing, share the broadcast. Also, if you'd like to help us to continue to do what we do, you can go to our website, which is right here, www.hcmstratford.org. And you can go there. There's a donate button, PayPal. That helps us to continue to do what we feel called to do. So,
yeah, man.
Yemen. What was that? When I was doing the encounter with Barry. It's the month of Adar. Adar! This is like the Jewish party month. It was awesome.
The Jewish party month.
It was, yeah. It was like the party, the celebration month or something. He was explaining it.
Wow.
Adar! We had a good time. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. I'm enjoying that, the encounters.
Yeah, it's been fun. Mm-hmm. And just the differences are cool. Like, I really enjoyed having my grandpa on. And there's going to be so many different people. Like, just because it's one of those things where it's like people's encounters with God are so personal that it's nice because you don't have to.
Well, none of them are the same.
Yeah, and you don't have to try to, like, qualify them. They just are what they are.
Right.
And you either get something from it or you don't. And it's great. And I get to just talk with them. And
yeah.
Like the one with Brandy was crazy.
Yeah,
like
it was really now, good.
I was weeping. Like I still can't. Like I went back to watch it and I just get wrecked. So,
well, straight out of her heart, it was just beautiful, the journey the Lord's got her on.
Yeah, and like the way that he did it was unbelievable, and to see someone like basically explain things that other people have already done, but who has no idea of it, from like inner healing and stuff like that, but through an experience and an encounter,
which is what Christianity is all about, right?
That's the best.
Otherwise, what are you doing? Yeah. We're following Jesus, or we're not following. And he best be alive. Or what do you got? Right?
Come on.
So how does it look? Does the picture look good?
Yeah. Everything's up and running and
beautiful.
We're shared. We got some people live with us. Who's out there? Let's read some comments.
Let's have a look. Take a few minutes. And
here we go. There's one right here. Greetings from Puerto Rico.
Yay.
Oh, is that Lulu, like Lulu who used to be here?
Yes, that'll be who it is. If it's Puerto Rico, I'm
and
sure.
And her husband's name is Jose.
Yeah.
Oh, Lulu, hey. I met you, like, twice. How's it going? Guys,
the journey has reached Puerto Rico.
Hey, we've arrived.
We've arrived.
At the beach.
At the beach. I would love
to be. We're
jealous. We're going to come visit.
To the beach.
Gotta do some ministry down in Puerto Rico.
I've seen some of those pictures you put up recently, and the beach looked really nice. It's a lot nicer than the snow, I gotta admit.
Yeah, that's correct.
The snow is great to visit. You just don't want to get stuck there for long periods of time.
I'm feeling called to do prophetic ministry on public beaches in Puerto Rico. Definitely. I would not turn
it's good
that
to see
down.
You guys on here. That's great.
Yeah, come on.
It's really fun. It's been a while since she was an intern with us. And
yeah, she was still visiting when I came around, like when I was just started coming. I wasn't even an intern yet.
Right.
She was still visiting, so I got to meet her a few times. And and her husband, I believe, I also met him. So
yeah, he came down and came to visit us. And they went home, got married, and had children, which is what you're supposed to do.
Come on.
Yeah.
I know, it's the kids.
So right on schedule. They're right on schedule.
Right on schedule. Seriously, I've been, my kids are just nuts. But sometimes they're like, I'll show you a clip after and you'll be like, what is going on? Because they're just, my wife was hiding.
Yeah.
And they didn't know. Mm. And they're downstairs, worship music blaring. Carter's got a ukulele, just hitting the strings, singing God's All Around.
Nice.
And Haley has Harper, standing with her hand on her head going, ask him to show you. Ask him to show you. And Harper's yelling out, show me your glory. Show me your... I'm not joking. Nobody's in the room.
Nice.
And I'm standing there going, where did they learn this? Because it's you know what I mean? They're, so young. They haven't been around very much. It's just wild. It was very powerful. It really encouraged me. So
nice.
And I've forgotten a little bit, because it happened a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And then me and Charlie were talking about kids encountering God, and I was And I pulled the video up, and then I was oh my gosh, this I don't know how it didn't hit me harder the first time I saw it, but
wow. Any other questions on there?
Nope.
From anybody? Not yet, eh?
Not yet. They're just, hey, guys, if you're out there, comment, let us know. Even after the fact, we go back and look at this stuff. Also, I tend to go back and watch it again if I can, if I have time. I also, you can get it as a podcast, which is nice. You can just throw it in your ears, do your housework, you know, rock the earbuds and be able to hear revelation and truth. So,
yeah, we have podcasts. We have it on Spotify now.
Podomatic.
It's running on Spotify, Podomatic. Anchor. There's a bunch of other ones. I don't even know them.
Yeah. No, I
YouTube.
Don't know.
It's on YouTube. So
YouTube's
a
great platform. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really
good. Love the way they lay out the library and everything.
Yeah. It's very good.
Because if you want to go back and watch episodes on Facebook, you got to scroll through.
I know.
Where YouTube, you just have a library. Boom. It's right there.
Yeah. You can link right in and check it out. So, yeah.
Come on.
So. We should jump in. What we'll do maybe tonight is partway through, we will kind of see if there's anybody asking questions or commenting and intervene into that a little bit in the midst of it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm down.
As we develop this, you know. So what we're talking about tonight, really, the stairway to heaven And, you know, we all know the song.
Yeah.
By Led Zeppelin. Was very, very famous. And the funny thing is, there is a stairway to heaven. And it's called the ladder. And it called a stairway, a ladder, a mountain. It's a metaphor for a journey, which is what this is all about, the journey that God takes us on as we go from glory to glory to glory until we see him face to face. And that's really what this is all about. You know, if you want to know why you're on planet Earth at this time, that's it. We see it with Enoch, where he went from glory to glory to glory, and then he was transfigured and disappeared from this dimension.
Come on.
We see it with Elijah. I mean, they say that he was taken up in a chariot of fire, but it's imagery. They use a lot of imagery in Jewish history. It's the way they understood it. It's Jesus spoke in pictures. We dream. Those are pictures. It's a language, God's language. It's so that your mind, your carnal mind, cannot interpret it. It'll seem foolish. But then God will speak to you, and it kind of comes out of left field, and it's as clear as the nose on your face when you get it.
Yeah.
But it comes from the spirit. It's not of the flesh. It's not of the mind of man. And we've had so much of that, that God is now awakening the body of Christ in the West. I don't know about other parts of the world because I'm not in them. And when I say the West, I'm talking about Southern Africa is westernized. It's a Western mind. They're Europe, Puerto Rico, United States. Well, I guess they're the one and the same. Maybe not. Louis is going to beat me up for that one. And Canada and other parts of the world that are westernized. It's a Western mind.
And we saw that the logic of man come into the church and try to make everything add up on the scales and try to make everything graspable and theologically sound and good doctrine.
Yeah.
And what it did was imprison us from relationship with, and encounter with the spirit, with who we really are. The biggest thing that I've realized to this point in my life is that I'm a spirit being who doesn't know it.
Yes.
And that's unbelievable because that was who I was first.
Yes. That's who you are
now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone is. That's the blindness.
Yeah.
They don't realize. They think they're a body with a soul that's spiritual.
Yeah, that somehow when I got saved, then I became a spirit.
Yeah. But you were always a spirit. That's who you are, with a soul in a house, a tent, a wineskin, Paul talked about. It's the body. It's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. And it's something that can be transfigured, transformed, and transfigured by the renewing of our minds, right? But it is got to be transformed, not
come on
in the state it's in the fallen state. We fell. So I love, like, A.W. Tozer.
Come on.
He lived from 1897 to 1963. Tozer was a writer. Wrote books, so he's an author. He was a pastor over different organizations. I can't think of it at the moment which one it was, but very famous guy. He says this out of a book called The Pursuit of God. He goes, "It becomes the devil's business to keep the Christian's spirit imprisoned." Isn't interesting what we were just talking about?
Literally.
"He knows that the believing and justified Christian has been raised up out of the grave of his sins and trespasses. From that point on, Satan works that much harder to keep us bound and gagged, actually imprisoned in our grave clothes. He knows that if we continue in this kind of bondage, we're not much better than we were when we were spiritually dead." Now, what he's talking about is you get saved, you get cut off from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you're standing at the bottom of it and you still think you're a part of it, and you never even know about the tree of life, Christ in me.
Come on.
We're still spiritually dead. We're of little value to the kingdom of God, and we become what we call part of a religious system.
Yeah.
But don't know the creator of the universe. We're waiting to die to get to know him.
We're like completely numb to the great mystery within.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
So I'm going to bounce off Tozer and what he's talking about to give some understanding of what it means to go from fallen to restored. Mm-hmm. And what's that look like as compared to the stuff we've been given, which has all really been about keeping rules and regulations and being good and make sure you repent and you can speak in tongues and pray for the sick and do this and this. But then one day when you die, you'll get to go to heaven.
Yeah.
So heaven's a three-dimensional place like Earth, we think. Streets, houses, all those kind of things.
Yeah, all the things I wanted.
Yeah. It's nothing about what it actually is. It's a state of being, right?
Yeah.
It can be anywhere in the universe. It doesn't really matter. What matters is intimacy with God, right? Into me, see. Come into that place of oneness with God and really know who he is and who you are. And then it establishes a reality, his reality, which is the truth is all you're doing is remembering because you already know him.
We're going to a place that's nearby, but it's a far journey.
That's right. And when we get there, we'll realize we've always been. We've never left. It's just been blinders that came over us.
Veils.
And what we do is we live like amnesia. That's what carnality is. We got lied to. We lived from the outside instead of the inside out.
Well, and we talked about last week that the veils are when you first get saved, you see like a man who sees men as trees.
Yeah, dimly.
And then the clarity comes as you enter the spirit.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
And yes.
And you see that. You see that even in scripture. And that's hard for people sometimes to see, but you can see the progression mm-hmm. of the clarity of the mystery of Christ within the teachings of Paul.
Yes.
You can see him, how he goes around it and around it and around it until he finally sees it with such clarity that he goes, I can't even share what I have seen.
Right. And not because God wouldn't allow him, but because you would never understand him.
Well, and I think that God wants us all to take the journey.
Yeah.
He wants us all to chase intimacy. He wants us all to go and spend time with the Holy Spirit and grow.
And I think the biggest thing is if you don't know about it, if you're just waiting to one day die and go to heaven,
yeah,
then that's a disservice to you and to God. That's the lie, right? So look at 2 Corinthians 3:7. It says, if the ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory.
Come on.
So the sons of Israel, they couldn't even look at the face of Moses because of the glory on his face. It was fading. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, listen to that, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory, right standing with God. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. So now my question is, reading this scripture about Moses and about those that know Christ, if you take inventory of the Western system, do you see a glory like that?
That far surpasses the old?
Far surpasses the fact that they couldn't even look at Moses' face because it was so bright. He was transfiguring. And then it faded. It was fading away because the old system was coming down. So I got to wonder if we're not got more of the old system, the old covenant, than we do the new. And that we're waking up because God wants to bring his glory out of us. But it's not going to happen while we're waiting at a bus stop.
One of the things that I find really strange and maybe it's just because I've always been very attracted to the New Testament.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, people seem to really cling and grab their image of God himself from the Old Testament.
I think that's because that's what's been preached to them.
And so the thing that blows me away is Christ came to do what? Mm-hmm. Communicate a better word.
Yeah.
a new covenant, a new agreement, and even the old one, the one that God made with Abraham, God, like, when I was doing the encounter, Barry said, like, God puts Moses to sleep and goes through it himself. He keeps the covenant himself. He didn't even let Moses take on the responsibility.
He did it with Adam?
Yeah.
He did it with Abraham?
It's so insane. And so here's this amazing image of God, but what's hard to see without what Jesus revealed.
It depends on your eyes, your perception.
Yeah.
If you read the Old Testament with a judgmental heart,
yeah,
that's what you see. But if you look, you will see God's redemption and what he was actually doing right from the get-go.
Well, and it's all over the place, like Zechariah, O daughters of Israel, I've washed your sins. Well, there's tons of moments where God is revealing who he is.
Yeah.
But it's like Jesus revealed it with such clarity.
Because he was the better word.
Yeah.
He was the word, right, that came. It says there was the prophets. In Hebrews, it says, Hebrews 1, I believe, it talks about the fact that he spoke through the prophets and the desert fathers. But now he has spoken, lastly, through his son. So it's the word now, so that we would understand.
Yeah. Right?
So it says, I live and move and have my being in Christ. I live and move in him, in Christ. The Lord is omnipresent. I don't need to get to him. I don't need to call him from somewhere. He's omnipresent. David said it. Where shall I go? The bottom of the ocean, to hell itself, to out into the cosmos. You are there. You are there. You cannot get away from God because he's omnipresent. And then it says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, in other realms. Christ in me, the hope of glory, his hope of restoring us to where we fell from, the glory. See, it's not enough to speak these things, but they must be our experience. They have to be our reality, or we're still asleep in carnality. Until the old covenant, or sorry, under the old covenant, and not growing in the light and in the truth. We see it. Jesus says, I am the way. And he leads us to salvation, hands us off to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit leads us into all truth. And then he hands us off to the Father, which Jesus came to what? Bring us to the Father. Then we go into the Father, who is life, Zoe, life, eternal life, incorruptible, indestructible. That's what Zoe life is. Where is it? It's in your spirit.
Come on.
It's where God the Father dwells within, right?
Yeah.
And all things will be summed up. It says, says Christ is in all, is all, and will be summed up everything in Christ. I say Christ is the mystic secret of God. God had a plan. He has a secret. It's called Christ. Christ is something that Jesus is the cornerstone of, because Christ is not his last name. He is the Christ, right? So there's a mystic secret, this thing, Christ, the building that God is building, right? That's what he's doing. John 17:5. It's the beginning of the final prayer of Jesus. He longed, it says, to be clothed. Let me find it. With the glory, he said, he had before the world was. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. This one, this one passage of Scripture has such revelation in it. I understand that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead raised us, right? So I equally understand that the same Spirit has seated us in heavenly places. We'd all agree on this. However, think about it. Until I achieve that uninterrupted state of being, which Jesus is talking about, until there are no other distractions in my life, the knowledge and glory of God is without any earthly interference, then I have yet to be fully clothed with the eternal state. Remember, We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We fell into carnality, into a lower dimension, a lower realm. And now we need to be restored back to heaven, which is the spiritual world, the world of glory, where God's glory exists. So for me to walk being clothed in this state, something needs to take place. And I look around me, and we have revivals in the end. But this is something far greater than a revival. This is a transfiguration, like Jesus on the mountain. He's showing us something, right?
It's true freedom.
Yeah. So 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house that's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on," are you ready? "Will not be found naked." Now I want you to think about the garden. What were they naked of? They were naked because their spirit had been on the outside and they were glorified and the spirit went within, right? And was hidden and veiled from them, and they were naked. They felt naked. It's here he says, we will not be found naked. So until we're clothed once again, that's why we're wearing these, that till we're clothed once again with our spirits in the glory, which is dwelling in the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
That's deep.
That's what we're called to. And that's a process, this journey. I'm talking about the staircase, a mountain, and I'm going to show that. But the Lord, how the Lord unpacked this to me and revealed it to me. And the journey I've been on, heading to this state called union that Paul the Apostle talked about. That's what it's all about. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, I'm going to read it from two translations. He says, "When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths." This is why we have no glory, is because we're just translating with our own understanding what's literally right on the pages of the Bible, and we're missing what's right there.
Yeah.
But it has to be given to us by the Spirit, revealed by Spirit, because the heavenly realm is Spirit. It's, it says no carnality dwells there, right?
The Word is Christ. He's alive.
Yes.
And so if you approach the Word of God not in the Spirit, how will you understand? And Jesus even said to Nicodemus, like, "I could even explain earthly things to you and you wouldn't understand. How do you think you can understand heavenly things?"
That's right. And then so, he gave him one, but he didn't get
it. He didn't get it, And so it's like God's basically saying, you come to me with your intellect.
Yeah.
But this far surpasses anything you could handle in your intellect.
You could never get there. It's like God has hidden it purposely.
Yeah.
You can't get it except by the Spirit. And when you do, I always used to say as a young Christian, I think one day when I read the Bible, it's going to be a kindergarten book, kind of like, you know, it used to be a bunch of pictures when you're in kindergarten. Spot ran up the hill, you know, that book, that kind of thing. I feel like it's going to be like that. It's all a bunch of pictures, and it's so simple, it's unbelievable. But the fact is, without the Spirit, it's a whole bunch of disjointed stories that doesn't make any sense. It's a code. It's hidden. It's hidden from pride of man.
Well, and I just as you were saying that, I was getting that verse where it talks about that the friend or the son knows the plans of the master.
Yes.
But the servants don't. And so we've been in servant mode for so long.
Yeah.
That we don't even understand when our Father's revealing to us. And like I remember the first time you told me about the layers of Scripture, I didn't have a clue what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Not until like I started to like meditate upon it, and all of a sudden things started to just jump out at me after that, because you put this idea in my head that there was more.
That there was more to see.
Yeah, it's like you tell me, like, if you didn't know there was a door over there, how would you know to go out of it?
Yeah, you first got to see it. That's what I say. Informational knowledge tells me what my heart must get from God.
From God, yeah.
It's got to be a revelation. It's got to be experience. Otherwise, what have I got? I got a bunch of dogma I'm following. And at the end of the day, is it really going to help me when I'm in the crunch?
Well, and even the experiential, if it's not you experiencing it, it's now just information again.
Right.
Until you enter into it.
Yes.
And I remember walking through that when you guys were laying on the floor in the glory, and I was going, what? You know, because I had no idea God was even that good.
Yeah. See, that's the whole beginning. God is actually a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he loves us. He's never not loved us. He loves us for who we are, not what we do.
Come on.
You know? So 1 Corinthians in the International Scripture Research Bible, it says, which we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but which the set-apart Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual matters with spiritual matters. So we're kind of like the caterpillar. It has inside it a process is going on in the cocoon, to be a butterfly, right? So we have the ability to go from a carnal state by the set-apart Spirit to a living Spirit in a physical body. That's the process that we must come into. Even Eden, I used to think, was a garden. But Eden has a garden in the east of it. Okay? You can look it up in Genesis. You'll find it. So what that means is, just think about this. This is just John's thoughts then for a moment. Could it be that we were planted in the garden called Earth to grow from carnality to spiritual being walking with the Lord in the natural realm, as well as the spiritual dimension called the heavenly? Just as Adam did before the fall and Enoch did by faith, and the parables tell us that the Father's a farmer or has a vineyard. So he's at work in a garden, a field, that's, if Eden is bigger, what's the other part of it? In today, on a lot of movies, they're in the science, they're playing with the idea of parallel universes. Well, in reality, there is a parallel universe, and there's a line drawn. It's all here on this planet, right? But Eden isn't seen, the part of Eden that's not the garden, which is the spiritual world. It's right here operating. And once you can see, you'll see it. So we must return to our original state of being in the light, or else we perish, the Lord called it. We can perish. And seriously, we're seeing it all the time. People perishing for lack of knowledge, revelation knowledge. We think that death is what causes us to see and go to heaven. But it's not true. The spirit of death is actually an enemy of Jesus. He called it the last enemy that he would overcome. It was Christ and his cross is the beginning of waking up and seeing him who's unseen in the dark that we've been walking in. Darkness is blindness. We've been blind. And like A.W. Tozer said, I got saved, but then I stood by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and nobody told me what anything was about. They just kept me tree conscious, that tree, which is sin conscious, when I'd been set free. But they didn't teach me who Jesus really was and what he came to do and the life that was exploding inside of him that's for us. It's another world.
Come on.
It's both these trees, by the way, are inside you.
Come on.
They're in us. They're not somewhere in a field. Yeah. They're in us. And it was our choice. We got deceived, and it was our choice to reason in ourselves through our own ego of self-awareness and self-preservation. And basically, the bottom line is we don't trust that God is all-sufficient for us in everything and always has been.
Well, when you were talking about Eden, the other half of Eden,
yeah,
I was actually thinking this in my head, and then Andrew posted it as a comment where he put every bush aflame with the fire of God, but only those who seek take off their sandals, the rest just pick the berries. And it's like, I was literally thinking that, Andrew, so that was really good, because it was like every time in the Bible where God would open someone's eyes, it was always right where they were standing. Mm-hmm. It was there. They were there. It was instant. So to think that it's afar off doesn't make sense.
No.
It's just we don't see it. And we talk a lot about, like, the speed of light and the speed of blood and all these things. And and God is – because God is literally unveiling who he is through the pursuit of truth. Like mankind – that's – I was
– yeah. Sorry.
No. Hey, that's what this is about, man. Like, excuse me. Mankind is driving forward looking for truth, and they're constantly being confronted with the fact that we are created beings. The fact that they're like everything points to intelligent design.
Yeah.
Like more and more, like it's in everything. Like it's in and you know, the science community would say, well, you know, we're made by aliens or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what is something that's unfamiliar to you?
It's
well,
definitely it's alien to us, right? The spirit world.
Yeah, and so God is truth, and so the pursuit of truth will only lead to one place.
Yeah, daddy.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And me and you, like, even years ago, started stumbling upon, like, DNA studies and things like this, where it was showing the connection, where the Bible says if one of you's in prison, you're all in prison. What happens to one of you happens to all of you. You know, God is trying to wake us up. You know, if there's a lost sheep, he'll leave the 99 to go after the one. Well, wait a minute. How can it be lost if it's not owned?
There you go. That's beautiful, yeah.
Like, that's why point of origin attaches into all the latter, because I'm actually his first.
Yeah, you never weren't.
No, I know, but it was, like, in the back of my head. Like,
I know. That's the lie, though, right?
There was this foster child mentality or something where I just... because the grace was so overwhelming because of my choices, you're so grateful to be there that you don't push forward. But it was like God himself had to come to me and say, Corey, there's more than just grace. There's the fact that I own you. Mm-hmm. You're my son. You always were. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I breathed breath into you. I created you. How then, the second you were born, you're no longer mine?
I know.
Who says? You know, and I had to realize this, that lie of Lucifer being my father wasn't real.
No.
I don't come from the family of sin and death.
No.
I come from the tree of life.
That was the twisted image.
Yeah, and in fact, if you go to the part where it says, I will lift my throne above yours, or that whole statement, what more to do than to convince creation it doesn't belong to the one who made it?
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
You know, and it's just...
So, you know, here's another thing about that burning bush.
Yeah.
Is I believe what Moses was seeing is where he was offered to come. Because think about this. What's the all-consuming fire but doesn't consume? It's called love. So you step into the burning bush, everything that's not of love gets consumed, but you stand in the fire. And that's where God's taking us, to live in the fire of his love. That's what we're to be. We're called to be embers of fire. What's it? There's a scripture for this, that we are to be his... something of fire.
I can search it.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. That we're to go out and we're to be set aflame, but that's what we're set aflame by, is not judgment, but the love of God setting us on fire, and it consumes the darkness, but we stay in the fire, because doesn't it say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire, and there was a fourth man in the fire, and then it says they didn't even smell of smoke. That's because they themselves were preserved. We are meant to live in fire. That's who we are. I'll throw in another freebie on the midst of that. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
There's flames of fire the angels are holding to get back into Eden. Right? As we ascend... What I'm going to talk about tonight here,
come on.
As you ascend, your frequency changes, speed changes. It's called light. And what happens is you get to a place where you're at the same frequency as fire, so you can pass through the fire back into Eden, in and out, into the spirit world. That's what Enoch was doing.
Was this the one you're talking about in 1 Corinthians?
He makes his...
No, this is a different one, but it's actually exactly what you're saying. This is exactly what you just said. It said, if any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer a loss, but not he himself.
There you go.
Shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
There you go.
That's wild.
The love. That's
like,
it.
I don't even know how I got
so
there. But.
There's Moses standing, looking at where he's going.
Come
into
on.
That fire.
Oh.
That's what that was about. All right. If everybody else, you're right. All the earth is crammed with heaven. Every bush aflame with the fire of God. But only those that see take off their shoes.
Yeah.
The rest, just look at the acts of God and wait to go to heaven. Right? They miss it. John 1. In him, Jesus, was life. What life? The tree of life.
Come on.
And the life was the light of men. Light. What we're doing tonight as we talk is we're releasing light. It's called revelation. Comes from God by the Spirit, not of me. I didn't learn these things. He gave them to me. So light is released, and if it pierces your heart, then the tree of life begins to come into you in this. It's got to be the experience. It can't just fill your head with some new information so you can teach it on Sunday morning, right? The light shines in the darkness. And what? That's the blindness. And the darkness did not apprehend. It couldn't comprehend. It couldn't understand. There came a man sent from God, John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that we might, all of us might believe through him. He wasn't the light, but he came to testify about the light. There's a true light which, coming into the world, are you ready, enlightens. That word enlightens is, the Greek word is photesis. I may be screwing the word up a bit. Photesa, I think, photesis. And what that is a shutter on a camera. So what happens is the shutter must open. That's the enlightenment. It opens and allows the light to come in so that it can see. The photo becomes, it's able to take a photo. In our case, we're able to see. So enlightenment comes as the veil lifts of darkness, and we're able to perceive.
Photizo.
Photizo.
Yeah, photizo means to give light, to shine, to enlighten, light up and illuminate things that were dark or unseen.
There you go. So the camera lens, the photo of the lens.
Yeah, the iris opening.
Yes, is what enlightenment is. So we're hoping that the iris opens in people as we share this, right?
Come on.
He was in the world. The world was made through him, but the world didn't know him. It had totally forgotten him. We know Jesus really well, right? We've forgotten. That's why I said, do this in remembrance of me. Zechariah 4:1. Here's Joshua. He goes, the angel who had been talking with me returned. So an angel was speaking to Joshua, and he left, he returned, and it says he woke me as though I'd been asleep. Joshua wasn't sleeping. He began to enlighten him because he was asleep in the darkness. That means sleeping is in darkness. Waking up is beginning to see. I realized I had this crazy experience in 2005. When I was worshiping at the front of the church on Erie Street. And all of a sudden, I started walking towards the stage, and I went into a trance. And as I was in the trance, I could see veils blowing out to the left and the right of me. And I knew the closer I got towards the stage that somehow at this time in 2005, God had called me like a priest in the kingdom. And so as I got there, I looked, and I seen Jesus. And he walked down to the third step on a set of stairs, which is what we're talking about here tonight. He walked down a staircase down to the third step. And where was I? In the third dimension. He came down, he looked at me, and he began to speak to me about different things. But what he did, and I'm not going into those today, but what he did for me there was begin to put this seed in me. Why did he have to walk down some steps? And why did he stop there? And what does that mean, God? And as I pondered these things over the years, over a few years, he began to help me realize that I was in carnality and darkness. And even below that, there's a place called the abyss, right? And I knew about the abyss because I'd been there before. I'd been there when the enemy came into my living room, which was when I first was getting saved during these 4 years after I died in the car accident. He came into my living room, and my whole living room began to descend. I was still sitting in the living room, but the whole thing descended into another realm. It went down for a while, and then it stopped, and I was in this place where my walls began to look this pukey yellow color, and the carpet looked like moss, and all I could hear was boom, 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 right? And I probably was my heart beating so hard it was going to come out of my chest, and I was just like, I was freaking out, and there was somebody in the room. I knew they were there. I couldn't see them, but I knew where they were, and I said, "Who are you?" And they said to me, "I'm the devil." And I didn't know much, but I knew I'd been reading a book about Jesus, and I screamed, "Jesus!" And boom, I was back in my living room going, "What the heck?" So I descended into a realm of darkness that was below where I was. Now, I've had this before. I had it at concerts sometimes in certain bands, and they would go into certain riffs that were low. I'd feel the whole place kind of descend. One time I was at, just to give you a couple of quick ones, I was at a roller skating rink once, and I was doing some drugs, and I walked into the place, which may remove this for you as a reality, but it is a reality. I walked in, and as I walked into the room, all of a sudden, it's like this whole room of the demonic welcomed me, that I'd finally arrived in their world.
Yeah.
And so it was real. It was very real. It scares the crap out of me at the time because I had no basis for anything. And then I went to, when I had the quadruple bypass in the hospital, I went, I had a visitation from Jesus, and he took me up a mountain. Staircase, ladder, mountain. Moses went up the mountain.
My thoughts are higher.
Right. So I went up, and as I'm going, the light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And again, we're not going to go into that much today other than to say about this, that the Lord was showing me that at the top there was no death, because death doesn't really exist. Only in this realm, it's a wage of sin, right? But if you ascend and you're in the light, now we understand it, if I just put it in scientific terms, at 186,000 miles per second is what light travels in the fallen world here. And if we go to there, the clock stops, time doesn't exist, right? And where God is, he moves at the speed of thought. That's way faster. It's the speed of thought. You think something and you're there.
Yeah.
You're there. And so he was showing me at this place where he is, that's where the top of the mountain is, ascending in the mountain of light. And he wanted me to understand this is where he was calling me, to walk in the light as he's in the light.
When you were sharing that, I mm-hmm. had such a, you know, like the Bible talks about creation declaring who God is.
Yeah.
And so to understand those different levels.
Yeah.
He showed me, just as you were talking, like a lightning strike, and how first you see the lightning go through the sky.
Yes.
Then the thunder comes, because the thunder is actually behind the lightning. It's slow.
It's slowed down. It's the sound the lightning made, but in a slower place.
Exactly. The lightning made the sound the second it went, mm-hmm. but sound is so much slower than light.
Yeah.
That there's a delay, and you can actually tell how far away the lightning is,
the
they
storm,
say,
right? Yeah.
from the delay.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where
we've
been.
So now you understand Brian when he says we're an echo of the future reality.
Well, and this is where we've been existing out of, is the echo.
Yes.
We've been not riding the lightning, we've been riding the sound.
Yeah.
And that's why the sons of thunder live in the light, because they see the light and resound the sound.
You got it. That's
yeah,
it.
That's deep.
They reveal what the Father's doing in the light.
In the light.
And they're the sound, because that's what people hear.
Yeah.
They're not seeing God, but they can hear, and so we echo what he's doing. That's the sound.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Sons of thunder.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the Lord started to unpack this stuff to me. I'm really pondering this whole thing in 2005 and seeing him there, not understanding, and I threw that other in just to show about the differences. The heart attack happened in 2016. So now we got to go back to like 2006 or 7. I'm pondering all this. And this might even have been 2010, 9 or 10, I don't know. He began to bring revelation to me about the bridge, people crossing over mountain of man to mountain of God. And he began to bring me to these scriptures. So in Genesis 28, it says, Jacob departed from Beersheba, went towards Haran. He came to a certain place, spent the night there because the sun had set, took out one of the stones of the place, put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. Now, Beersheba means, you got to look up the meaning of things. Beersheba means the place of, or the well of the oath. It's where Abraham and Absalom took an oath. Haran is the crossroads or a place of decision. Now, what I see here is I see that I came into a covenant in my salvation, like the promise of Abraham. I came in, right? It talks about the seed that many will be his descendants in the seed, right?
It's countless as the stars. Yeah.
Countless as the stars. So I come into this in salvation. Then God brings me to Haran, which is the crossroads, where I need to make a decision if I'm going to follow him or stay in the system of religion. Meet me outside the gate. Remember that visitation. So let's move on now with Jacob here. He has a dream. Behold, a ladder was set up on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. Remember Jesus walking down those steps. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And he dreamed that there was a ladder, or he called it a stairway, and it reached to Shomim, which is the gates of heaven. And it says the Lord stood at the top above it, the Father. I am the Lord God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. And in another translation it says, behold, the Lord stood over and beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. And the word for God there is Elohim. I am divinity. I am the divine. And so I'm going to finish reading that, and then I'll explain what he showed me. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, the east, the north, and the south. And in you, it says, and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's all of us. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. And we are in that promise of Abraham. This is what he says. Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This, are you ready, is the gate of heaven. Okay, this is not a geographical place. This is a revelation of a picture of what we're called to ascend in and how to get there. So remember I talked about the four levels of scripture. The second one's the hint.
Yeah.
So as I'm reading this, something was bothering me. I said, God, wait a minute. It says angels, they're ascending and descending. Don't they come from heaven? So wouldn't they be descend, then ascend? That's because it's not angels. It's you and me. It's messengers. The word is messengers. And that is a hint. That's called the hint that somebody translated as an angel. But in fact, we come from fallen state and we ascend. And then descend to people in different places on the ladder to bring truth and light.
Well, and we know that in the translation of angel is also messenger.
Yes.
And so that there's many, like, there'll be four words in the Hebrew that will translate into one word in English.
Yes.
Sometimes as many as 11, 12 different words with different meanings.
Right.
That we translate into one English word. And that's why it's so hard sometimes to understand things from a Western standpoint, because we have dumbed down even the language itself to a point where, like we just say love.
Yeah.
Well, how many different words for love are in the Hebrew language?
Yeah, Greek has four.
Yeah, and in Hebrew there's even more.
Yeah.
And when you, and not just the love, like they would attach a picture to love.
Yeah.
Like, it's so deep, the meaning of things. And even when it says a servant's in my father's house in the prodigal son story, there's even meaning in there that we don't understand.
Exactly. This stuff's all hidden.
And it's hidden because God, it's his glory to watch us become sons.
Yes.
He loves it. It's like when, like I told you about that video, when I watch that video and see Carter strumming that guitar and singing from her heart with no nothing.
So you can imagine how he feels about us when we dig in and seek a matter out. And
come on.
He reveals it. So then he takes me to John 1, 51. And now I want you to see the connection here. John 1:51. This is Jesus. I prophesy to you an eternal truth. From now on, you all will see an open heaven and gaze upon the Son of Man like a stairway, reaching into the sky, and that word will be heaven, with the messengers of God climbing up and down upon me.
Up and down.
So, what's Jesus saying to us? He's saying to us, he's the ladder. He's the staircase. Okay, Lord, what does that mean? Remember the light, John? Yes. Oh, you're going to pierce me with truth, light. It's called revelation knowledge from heaven. Blue. Some people see pictures and they're blue. And that's going to impact me, enlighten me, open the veil, that photisos, and come in and take me into another step on the ladder, up Christ, up glory to glory to glory, until it says, I will see him as he is. Abba. I will finally get it. I'll finally understand. As I come out of the darkness, I will begin to come to that place of revelation.
There's that one part there that's so powerful where he describes it and he says, this is an eternal truth.
Yes.
Which is wild because he describes it in the same way Jacob's ladder experience describes it.
Yes.
And so
he's quoting
Jacob's
ladder, so we would know that I'm Jacob's ladder.
Well, and the Bible says there's only one way.
Yeah.
That Christ is the way.
That's it.
And so it's through him to the Father. And it's like that eternal truth thing is so deep because he's doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
Because they would know about Jacob's ladder. That would be something that was talked about a lot because it was
so
spiritual.
So can you imagine when he said that, what they were thinking? It would have been mind blown, right?
Wow.
I'm Jacob's ladder. And they've been like licking the honey off those scriptures for years, right?
Yeah, I'm the fulfillment of what you saw back then. Jacob saw the future and his name was Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
That's it. So it speaks of an ascension. I come up here. My ways are not your ways. Mine is high as the what? Heavens above the earth. That's spirit carnality, right? The earth is pregnant in labor to give birth. To bring life, creation's groaning for the release of the sons of God, which is there to come into maturity. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like what? The bright morning light growing brighter and brighter and brighter until the fullness of the day. And the fullness of the day is when the sun's at 3 o'clock and there is no shadow. It's under my feet. I know.
Even that's a wild thing to say, because what does it say the Old Testament was? a types and shadows. Yes. Yeah. So at the fullness of the day, we will fully let go of the old temple, fully embracing the new.
Yeah, we should have got the message in 70 AD, but we missed the note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They raked the field.
Yeah, there was nothing there. God said, yeah, it's over, guys.
See you later. So you know. No stones left for you.
No. So it's this amazing stuff. If you lay hold of this, you'll recognize that you are on the ladder. We all are somewhere. To the degree, some of us might be on the bottom. Oh, and I can't be down there, but maybe on the second step or something. I don't know. And what I'm saying that is because we're still clinging to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're still under sin consciousness and condemnation. You can't climb this ladder and not know you're loved.
Yeah, because you'll never get to the top.
You can't. He's going to kill you on the way. You're sure of it.
Yeah.
Right?
And if he doesn't, you're going to jump off.
And the higher you go, the brighter the light, the greater the fire, and that fire is something you got to enter into and not run from.
Yeah.
And I always say, if you want to know what the wrath of God is, the wrath of God has been spoke about a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. But it is this. It is his all-consuming love that loves us so much that his wrath goes after anything that's blinding us and keeping us from his perfect love. Yeah. And it'll consume that stuff to bring you home, the prodigal son.
And when your identity lies within that stuff, it feels like death to self.
Yes.
Till you realize it was never you.
It was never.
And that's like we had such a powerful vision one time come to us, not even from me or you. It was from a leader in our church, and he had a vision of a tree.
Yeah.
And at this time, we were just stepping out, following the Holy Spirit. You were in the vision. He said like there were some people that were a part of the tree. Some people were out on the branches, and then he saw you out in the air off the tree completely. And there were some of us that were about to jump off, and he said he was still like half attached to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
showing the journey.
Yeah, like we're so quick to just be like, oh, well, that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. No, no, no. This is just part of what trusting and growing in God is.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, the only reason I think that, like, honestly, the only reason I think he chose to do things in my life, is because there's something in me that no matter what, when he speaks, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Even when it sucks, I'm like, sorry, okay, let's go through this, let's do this.
Yeah.
And time again, because there's something in me that knows that even though it might be hard and even though it might even not make me look good or things like that, I know that there's just something better there.
Yeah.
I can feel it. Like, it's like, I remember one time, like, this is like when I was an intern, before I was an intern. Wow. Before I was an intern. And I was about to pursue a relationship, and the Holy Spirit spoke like in a whisper, and he just said, don't. And I just didn't. Like, I have this whole thing I was going to send. I'm like, delete.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I would have done that, it would have changed the course of my life.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, eh?
It's like, and he didn't yell it. He didn't. It was just like, he was like, if you want to follow me, don't do that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad thing. It was just.
You had a choice. He was just helping you make the right one.
And I think the fact that he whispered it made it so much easier to follow him. Because it was like, I heard it. But it wasn't some bell ringing in the sky. It was like, I knew what I heard, but it was soft.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I knew he was saying, this is for your good.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
That's good.
You know, it wasn't a rule. It was just like, this is for your good. Like, nuts.
Yeah. So now, faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation. The title deed is the Amplified. Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see.
Come on.
The conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed yet to your senses.
Yeah.
That's all. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He went up the ladder, went up the mountain. He was not found because God took him up. He obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, the reason is, if you think about it, it's not like, you better have faith. It's because he's telling you, you must trust and believe him, and you'll get it. It's that simple, right? This understanding comes on the basis of knowing the character of God, not a religious image. His desire for you is to grow in light and in maturity, and he says that things to provoke you to see and come into freedom. He provokes our minds. Such as gifts are gifts, but they won't save you, which is true, but what will? Intimacy and walking with him in the light. He's love. You must look at the scriptures through the eyes of love, not judgment. If you want to perceive what you need to see to climb the ladder, this is the way it's got to be. Faith causes you to experience the word, which will take you from revelation to revelation. That's the light, glory to glory, right? To seeing God, to what Paul talked about, being in union with him. So this is what's so important. And what's tough about this, it says, narrow is the road that leads to life. Few find it. That's sad to me. Now, I'm pursuing the road. I'm following the lights on the road like Enoch. God's no respecter of persons, so why can't I? Of course I can. Will I make it? Only time will tell, right? Yeah. Only time will tell. And but whether I do or I don't doesn't change the truth.
Well, and the fact that you have faith in it is the evidence that it's possible.
That it's possible. Now, again, I want to take this from this dimension into the by and by dimension by what something he showed me about the ladder.
The by and by.
Because the ladder doesn't end, by the way. You may think that you can just, well, I don't need to climb it. I'll just die and I'll be there and I'll be on the top rung.
I'll know everything.
It's not true. Sorry to blow the bubble, but the ladder matters. So one night the Lord wakes me up, and I've told this experience before, but I needed to tell it tonight in light of this to help understand. I had this experience one night where the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and says, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Look the other way. What do you see? I said, I don't understand, God. He said, look the other way. What do you see? I said, I don't know. I don't understand. He said, you will believe a lie, and the lie will imprison you, or a paradigm. Now, we talked about this a moment ago, that we create belief systems based on looking through a mirror dimly, which is looking through the fog and writing a book about what we saw. Kind of scary. And then teaching it generation after generation for thousands of years. Right, not knowing that some of it was paganism and some of it came out of Babylon and some of it is Greek mythology.
And some of it was created just to control.
Yeah. I mean, there was a language at the Tower of Babel. It was called Babel, right? And so he said to me, if you think you know, you got all your eschatology down, this is what it means, this is what it means, I know, right? He said, that's pride. That removes the door, and not even I can get to you. Why? You'll rebuke him. You'll rebuke him because you won't believe it's God. Oh, it's the devil speaking to me, right? As if we know. Well, if that was true, we'd be still in a horse and buggy. We wouldn't be driving a car, and we definitely wouldn't be speaking in mics looking on computers right now. That's just unnatural. So we got to realize light's progressive. Light is progressive. Proverbs, what I read in Proverbs. So let's not get all hot and huffy. I don't know very little. I know very little. I'm just walking up the stairs. What can I say? So he says to me about, you know, again, you will know the truth. And then he showed me this book, Visions Beyond the Veil, which were these kids Heidi Baker, Roland Baker's grandfather.
In China, yeah.
In China, who had this mass revival in an orphanage. And some kids went into, like, trances for, like, 24 hours and went to heaven. They're running around. And they see their friends who had died from the orphanage. And these kids come running by, and they're going, come on, come on. You've got to see this. And the kids that were in the trances that were there in the spirit, they said, have you seen this place? It's beautiful. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said to me, John, I've given you time and circumstances so you don't become complacent. Because when you come here, it's easy for you to be complacent because, you see, they thought they've arrived in heaven.
And they hadn't even entered the gate yet.
Just the beginning. And he said, they would felt the presence of God. Everything's beautiful. You know, the grass is greener, sky's bluer. But the Lord said to me, my desire is that all my children would be by my side. Now, I don't know about you. I want to fulfill his desire. I want to be by his side. That's my passion, right? So he said, but they will not all come. He said, so I dial myself down and I approach them in a way that they can receive me. In a way you can understand, he will come to you. And so I realized that I realized this, 30 seconds after I die and 30 seconds before I die, my soul hasn't changed. My paradigm, my understanding hasn't changed other than now I'm in the presence of God and I'm in heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for my house. You know the story, right? Yeah.
Looking for Peter.
Yeah.
Where's Peter?
Where's Peter?
We're at the gate.
Come on. So I realized that God wanted to take me from glory to glory, wanted me to not settle for what I'd been told, but to let the teacher teach me, the Holy Spirit, and bring me into all truth. Bring me up Christ, the staircase, to my dad, my father. And that's my journey. I desire that. Again, even if I passed over tonight, I will still have to ascend the ladder. I know about the ladder. So when I get there, I will be educated by people. And so I began to understand, like birds of a feather, people would come into a place where they all kind of think the same, and then they can be taught. But you might remain there a million years, a thousand years. I don't know. It's up to you. When all of a sudden one day you go, hey, Corey, do you think there might be more?
Yeah.
And at that moment, kaboom, you're leaving that place and moving on. And God's got, there's no time, right? So God's got eternity to allow you the process. So here he's saying circumstances, pressures
propel
you. They cause you not to want to settle. Now, I've had some incredible experiences that made me realize how real that world is and how real he is. But the death experiences I've had definitely have pushed me,
yeah.
Right? Like, you know, at that moment, like, you're hanging over the cliff and it's like, woo!
Plus who you are as a person, like your personality, is part of it too. Like when you were talking about how like the father will dial himself back.
Yeah.
I was actually like kind of like almost having like a heartbreak moment.
Yeah, I know.
Because I've been in that place where there's certain people that like they like me.
Yeah.
But they don't want to hang out with me because all I talk about is this or all I do. Like,
right.
And so in order to like succeed in that realm, I have to pull back who I am and what I love.
Remember years ago when we were together at a place? And there were a bunch of people that were there that were interns learning about God.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in the living room, we're talking about the Lord, and the presence of God was there. And they all left the room and went to watch a TV show downstairs. And you'd think, well, wait a minute. They're coming from different countries. They're there to intern for what? To get closer to God. And God's showing up in the living room. At that time, I couldn't understand it. It was like, that would have been 10, right? 2010, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
9 or 10. And I'm just kind of like, what? That, what is going on here? Now, I like movies, too.
Yeah.
But the Lord was showing up.
But we've watched far less movies.
Yeah.
Than we've ever, it doesn't even compare to the presence. I think we watched maybe 3 together in our entire friendship.
I know, that's
because
true.
Because when we come together, I get to talk about life.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because I don't always get that. And it's because we love people where they're at.
Yeah.
But when you get around people like and one of the things I just want to put like a disclaimer as a person who's processing and going through the ladder is one of the things, guys, it's not a degrading thing to be higher or lower.
This is not a hierarchy.
This isn't a competition. This isn't, oh, well, they're further along than me, so they know more. This is about personal relationship with God. It's different for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone will go through it differently. Everyone will go through it, but the encounters, the experiences, how you get there will be your story with God.
Yeah, we want to stir them to the more.
Yeah, like I just, you know, we're not talking about level 67 or something. It's not like that. There's no measurement to this other than, do you know the Father?
Yeah, to the best of my ability at the moment, from the revelation of 2005, and I could be wrong, is that there were 7 steps. But I also know that it says that God created the heavens and the earth. And God created them, therefore he wasn't from heaven. He was from beyond heaven. Heaven's a creation.
Plus Enoch talks about how many?
Yeah, I think 10.
10 or 11 or something?
Yeah, 10 heavens, I think. So it's like, if you think about it, there's the journey up the ladder. You know, I don't know all these things. I just know I'm on a journey, and I'm not the same as I was in 2010. I see things differently. And to help you understand this a little bit, a good picture of this is, if this is about us being on this planet where we are at this time, then everything around us is speaking to us, whether the trees are telling us about the trees, about the root system, about genetics, right? Yep. All the branches, the genetic system, about the fact that they're always receiving and God is always giving. That's who he is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. Well, when you look up into the sky, you see planets, and they're all different and unique planets. And I realized one day that those planets were actually here on the Earth. He was telling us about us, that we all live in different worlds. So we'll call them planets or worlds. How's that?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a group of people that live in a particular belief system, and they all gather with people of that system. And they don't go outside. And usually the people that don't think like them, they will call them deceived. Or, basically deceived. Yeah.
Well, because they feel like they're in a lower state or whatever.
Well, then, no, they feel like they've arrived. They've got it. Everybody else is deceived.
That's the one thing that I've noticed, for me anyways, the more... But it's also because I'm just starting out in this, so... I'm not saying this is like a sign of someone who knows something.
Yeah.
But the more that I find out, the more that I'm slowing like my approach in it. Where like before, like I would just read something and then run out like it was mine.
Yeah.
Where now I'm like, even when God reveals it to me, I'm like, okay, I want this to like...
How does it all fit?
Yeah, like I want it to almost like be in season.
Yeah.
Where I've never thought that way before. I've always just been the grab it and run guy.
Yeah, yeah, and I was that way too. That's the evangelist that was in us, right? Yeah. That, you know, you got to get out there. Or the teacher. I got to teach it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of look at this as, again, people live in different worlds according to their perception and cannot see unless they're hungry and teachable and the Lord opens their eyes. And they begin to move from one glory to another, or one world belief system to the next. We go from into different levels of the heavenly. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. So there's this, you know, continual thing that goes on. And it's not right or wrong. It's reality. It's like climbing a mountain. We climb up to a certain level. We rest. Then we climb to another. And I think it was last week I quoted Joyner as saying the higher up we got on the mountain in in a book he wrote. I can't
the,
think.
The mountain or something? No, the
I can find it. It'll come to me. I got all this other stuff in my head, so I can't think at the moment of it. The final quest. So he's on the final quest. He has these three different visions and trances, and he writes them all down. And he talks about going up a mountain. And the higher you are on the mountain, meaning on the ladder, then what happens is, he said, the place where your footing goes gets narrower and narrower and narrower. But that's because you have to continue to press upward and not go back. And it is possible to go backwards. It's pretty difficult, I think, but it can happen for sure, because we want to be accepted by people and loved. And I always say, you may walk alone, but you're not alone. Sometimes God is leading you somewhere where you feel like you're going by yourself, but he's with you, and he breaks open people that are in that belief or that world, and you begin to grow and learn from them as you go. So blindness in the dark is in the dark, to becoming fully aware in the light. It's not of human reason or mental consent in a knowledge, but Christ conscious as the way to the Father back home in him, which is where we're going. So the physical limitations of motion, time, and space are being broken as the seals are being removed. When divine nature is completely activated, which is in us all, 2 Peter 4:1-4, that I have the divine nature of God. When it's completely activated within man, he will be able to naturally transport himself from place to place without the aid of modern transportation. See, what we're seeing is technology, like even the web, that's just showing us the oneness of humanity. We're seeing cell phones, that just shows us that we can move that kind of speed across the planet, in fact, into the cosmos. But we've never believed this stuff or understood, because we think we're worms crawling in the dirt. When it's activated, let's look at Elijah and Philip in the Bible were examples of what will become the normal. Jesus said, those born of the Spirit, they move as the wind. No one knows where they're going or they're coming from. John the Apostle said, you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. Coiled up in the double helix of our DNA around each cell is the knowledge of the multiverse or the universes. It's all there. Remember, we only use, 5% or 10%? What's the other 90? It's this. It's called the mind of Christ. Eternity past and future and all the events that was and will be is within you. This is how the collective consciousness that ties all of humanity together. What one knows, all know. We all know this. We all know about the ladder. I know that I've seen people that had death experiences. I watched a lot of them in my life because of what happened to me. That talk about this. Once they were in the spirit, they were outside of the body. They said they could see every creature, every human that ever lived, was living now, and ever will live. They could see them all, knew everything, and everything that was going on. It's called the mind of God, the mind of Christ. It's in us. It's the mind of the spirit. We have forgotten. We have forgotten.
And Jesus hints at it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me.
Yes.
And we read that and we go, oh, I got to be a good person. And it's like, no, that's not what he's saying. He's trying to awaken you to a deeper revelation that this is literal. This is a reality, that a universal principle that is in operation, that we are connected. And whatever you do to someone, you're doing to Christ.
Yeah. So it's one person, one new man, Paul called it, right?
It's wild.
So Michael Danforth, I was quoting, he says, eternity is more than a space of time that never ends. Eternity is the knowledge of God. Eternity is knowing God in Jesus Christ. Eternity is the past, present, and future, because the knowledge of God is from the beginning to the end. The Greek word for the eternity is eons, meaning perpetual. It's a continuation without interruption. Therefore, the ultimate state of eternal life is uninterrupted, perpetual knowledge of God's love and glory. Come on. One of the challenges in present-day life is walking in the perpetual knowledge or knowing, not information, knowing Jesus Christ. Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of God. There's a deep longing for the continual knowledge of God's kingdom to appear on the earth. That's what God wants to do, is bring it to the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Why is it we want to escape earth and go to heaven? Why don't want we turn earth into heaven where it was originally, which is humanity? Spiritual warfare, he said, for the most part, is the continual effort of the enemy to minimize the knowledge of God's love and power in us. Back to A.W. Tozer.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
For the full circle.
Yeah.
And even the way that Jesus said that he wanted the glory that he had before. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in the end is the beginning.
Yes. That's where the beginning is the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we restored to where we originated.
Yeah. That's deep.
And just the whole thing, it says, and that we are one in him. Therefore, his glory that he had with the Father will be in us.
Well, it says we'll be co-glorified with him.
Yes.
Why? Joint heirs. Why? Because that was the intent of relationship.
Yeah. So if you think about that for one moment, just if you meditate that, it'll blow your mind. And so what are we doing? We're waiting to die. The spirit of death, the angel of death, to come to us, who is an enemy of God, to take me to heaven? Come on. That was such a lie.
And it's because a lot of the times we don't connect the dots.
No.
We don't understand there is dots to connect.
I know. I call it doing the math. We don't do the math.
Revelations 21 has a whole bunch of references to other revelations people had. A new heaven and a new earth. Well, what does that look like?
Hey, now we're talking Jewish language again. Do you know where heaven and earth met?
Come on.
In the temple, in the Holy of Holies, on the Ark of the Covenant. That was earth, and God's presence and his glory coming down and sitting on the ark was where heaven and earth met. So yeah. What's a new heaven and a new earth?
A new covenant.
You and me.
Exactly.
Because where's the ark?
Well, and what does the Bible say? That behold, all things have passed away, and all things become what? New.
Brand new.
There's all these things, and a lot of people don't even look at the fact that in Revelations it says, furthermore, he said unto me, John stops the vision to say, Jesus, stop telling me the vision to tell me something very specific. Mm. And Jesus said, this is finished.
Yeah.
I am.
I know. So this is our invitation to climb the ladder, Jesus Christ, which is why he came and set himself up as the light to take us out of the dark, to open our eyes. And when that another little twist on that guy that was blind and had two things had to happen, that's because there's two veils.
Yeah, I love that.
Death and hell had to be removed. Hell was removed by salvation.
Yes.
Death is removed when you come into the Father.
And it's so powerful because even in Genesis says like that they'd have to lead to not partake of the tree of life in this state.
Yes.
That they had to be brought to a different state before they could partake and be held that way forever.
I know, in that state of being.
Yeah, it's like, well, what state of being? Christ came to bring us to a higher state of living. You cannot be an eternal being in that place that's selfish and egoic. And
no.
You have to be, you get demoted to a lower level of existence.
Which is why we're all here learning.
I love when you were talking about the living room, how you descended, because that's how I felt at certain points in my life through different experiences. Like even some where I wasn't in control and other people were.
Mm-hmm.
I remember almost like fading into like almost black and white.
Yeah.
It was really...
Not a nice spot.
No. No, it was wild.
No. I would say that you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. Experiential knowledge, not informational knowledge. All truth is an invitation to a personal encounter, every one of us, not just, you know, the odd person. This is becoming intimately acquainted with the truth, which is a person. It's called the Holy Spirit. Precept on precept, glory to glory, revelation to revelation by faith, rung to rung, until we see him as he really is. That's what I want to see. I want to see the Father as he really is. I think we all do. It's just that some of us got a bigger kick in the pants, or we're here, we all have different parts of the body, do different functions in order to be able to, one of the spies going into the land, you know, recognizing that there's something here for us that we can have. And I remember in Hawaii when I was there one time going through over these hills through the bush, and I thought to myself, some people paid an incredible price for me to sit back in this Jeep and enjoy the sunshine flying through on a paved highway. You imagine the people that had to go in there and clear that bush with the mosquitoes and everything else, clearing that bush so they could one day put a highway so I could enjoy myself going through. Well, there are people in the body of Christ throughout time that have paid prices for us to be able to step into the light that's being given now. And we're pushing in this revelation of the light that's being awakening people to the greater place in Christ now, so that those that come behind us can run ahead of us, because we're all one. We're all going somewhere, right? The journey.
It was like, even, it was so crazy when you were saying that. It's like, I started thinking about like how guys like Brother Lawrence and,
yeah,
and even Visions Beyond the Veil, like these books took years upon years to even surface.
Oh, yeah. Brother Lawrence didn't want it wrote. It was a friend of his that he sent some letters to that put it together and put it out. And he provoked me. That book provoked me to the presence.
And it's like, how amazing is it that in this season, we're almost experiencing real time?
Yeah.
Not thousands of years of delay or hundreds of years of delay. Like, think of how long it took for the church to receive Martin Luther, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and some still don't. And yet, here we are in real time.
Yeah.
Having revelation coming forward, having people being able to articulate the word as never before.
Yeah.
Like, maybe in the days of Paul. But Paul...
They definitely, there were people walking in this. There were lots of people, I think, throughout time that went up the ladder. We just don't know their names.
Yeah.
It's just, he says, few find it. So in billions of people, how many is a few?
Well, and yeah.
It could be 100,000 a few.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we know Elijah. We know these ones that are written down. But again, it says, for instance, even with Jesus, there isn't enough books in the planet to record all that he did. Well, man, you mean there's a lot more than the four Gospels? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means, oh my gosh, man, there's a lot of good stuff that God can reveal to us about himself and about even what to break open what Paul was talking about, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brother Lawrence, he provoked me. There's been many on the road that
Madame Guillaume,
St. John of the Cross, that have provoked me to Go deeper.
Even good morning, Holy Spirit.
Good morning. That one was amazing, too. That Benny. Holy deep. Gosh. You mean you can know him like that, Benny? Yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's do this thing, you know?
Come on.
And there's a lot of them. There's a lot out there that have preceded us that have written books that the mystics, man, that had this intimate place of knowing God in such a beautiful, tangible way as a friend. I mean, think of that, a friend. My one greatest motivator, I think, is that I didn't want to wait until I died to get to know him. Yeah. I didn't want to, you know, at that time, I didn't really know about before. So I used to think, geez, I don't want to wait and go like, which one is he? You know, and then get to know him. I wanted to know him really well. I know, I'd know.
He's the one on the big chair with the white beard.
He's glowing, yes.
I wonder if he just does that to mess with people. He's actually the dude in the third row.
Yeah, probably he's sitting at the back of the room.
The guy on the chair is like, if they ever figure this out. Mm-hmm.
That is Jesus, though. He'd be at the back, right? Taking coats. He's the
hanging
coat guy.
Hanging with the kids. Yeah. You know.
Or guys, who's the coat guy? Mm. Oh, you'll see when the dinner starts, yeah.
Yeah. I remember.
You massaged my feet when I came in. He said I needed a massage. It's like, what? Who is that guy? He's the king.
Come on. Mm-hmm. So good. That was.
He's a beautiful guy.
There's honestly, like, there's several parts there that I got to go back because I was getting revelation during it. Mm. But it's like, there's still more there because it's like, this doesn't just end. It's
no, it's just begun.
Yeah, like it's.
Yeah, I don't even know where I am on that. I know
even
that,
the Jacob's ladder and Jesus quoting it thing. Yes. That's just mind blowing.
I know,
like
that's the kind of stuff that's in the scripture. There's tons of it in there. It's all hidden. It's code, I call it. And then there's math. We even went to the math.
Yeah, I don't get the numbers thing.
I mean, that'll blow us away, I'm sure. Like, that's the fourth level.
Oh, sorry.
Or, yeah, that's the fourth level. Feet.
Table's not as wide as it looks on screen, I'm telling you.
It's not bad. It's better than that last one.
Yeah, the last one was thinner than this. Yeah. This one's nice.
It is. The first one was great, but we were pinned up against the walls in this room, so that didn't really work.
Well, it is just massive.
So is there anybody that's got any questions there before we wrap this up? Anybody, comments, anything?
Comments. Andrew had commented, and then Wendy, our friend there from Cambridge area, she put, if you think you know, ... It was pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
I had put it up. I put them up tonight as they came up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we just, I really felt there was like a connection happening. Mm-hmm.
But and a lot of people watch this after the fact.
Oh yeah, like post. You guys don't even know this, but like there's a huge following in where, like Switzerland or something, like
on the podcast.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, so you know, like
Zurich.
It's going out all over the world because there's people all over the world who are waking up.
Hey, who and are we're saying, one people.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, like the thing that's hitting me the most is this. Why did I believe the same things the Pharisees did?
It's interesting. Now you're doing the math again.
And
see?
I'm like, wait a minute. I might need to recheck what I believe.
Yeah.
And like, why is it that this loving God, this amazingly good Father, has been so poorly represented? And it's like that just breaks my heart because I've actually, like, I know him to one degree in one phase. Mm-hmm. And even that phase is just overwhelming me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to even go into it.
Yeah, it's so good, man. God is so good. Mm. And he's got so much to teach us and show us. And the wine's great, too.
Yeah, it was really thick. Mm. Even when you came in tonight, you were just... We were just getting ready, and I kept getting hit. I was like, what is going on? And I think it's because there's some keys and doorways that were open tonight that I think people can step into.
Yeah.
So Scott Jones said, good word, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Jones, how you doing, man?
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Yeah. He's
hungry.
Pursuing the ladder. to daddy.
Come on.
Here we come, Dad. But the thing about it is this journey, he who began a good work will perfect it. Can you be perfect? Absolutely, because the Lord said, be perfect as your heavenly Father's perfect. So the Holy Spirit is the one carrying me up the stairs. Truth is, I'm not even walking. He's carrying me. And so I get on a step and I remain there until I'm open and ready. And I say it used to be like this. Somebody would give me a book and say, man, you got to read this. And I'd get the book and I'd open it. And you'd ask my wife, I'd read the first page maybe. And I'd set it on beside my bed on the nightstand. And I'd sit there until, like, I'm talking months, sometimes a year. It's like I just didn't, you know, it seemed might be good. And then one day I kind of going, let's say I'm getting into bed and I glance down and I go, oh yeah, I should check that book out. I pick it up and I don't set it down until I'm done it. And I read it again when I'm finished, because I'd read it the first time because it's so good. I just speed read through the whole thing. And then I go back because I know there's a lot there that I missed, but I couldn't wait to get to the end.
Come on.
So I have to go back now to digest what I just took in. And it's kind of like watching a movie. Sometimes you watch it and you just watch it. But the next time when you watch it, you see things you've never seen before, like The Matrix, you know? And so that's the way I was. And I kind of see it like that. It's like I'm oblivious to the other steps. I know about the lower ones because I was living there. But now I'm oblivious to the ones above me. But I know they're there now. I wouldn't be so full of pride to think I don't, that I know. Because you'll know when I know. Because I'll be a son.
Yeah.
And you will see me. It's called Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is resting upon you, and kings of the earth will come. Not because of what you know, it's because of who you know. And because when you speak his words, the light and the sound comes out of your voice. It's the sound of the lightning of the Father. And the lightnings will change the hearts in front of you. They will change just by you speaking to them. Their heart will change on a dime, and they'll begin to see Christ because it's him speaking to them. Because I've got out of the way, and Christ has stepped forward in me, and he's now driving the car. Woo! That's where we're going, right?
Come on.
And I'm not afraid of that. I'm looking forward to it.
That's the goal.
That's the place called ecstasy.
Yeah.
That the mystics talk about. Union with the Father. That's the marriage. To be married to Christ. We're not waiting for a banquet somewhere, someday. He's talking about union. How do we know? Because it started at the cross. And the fact of the matter is, how do I know when I'm married to somebody? It's when I'm in union with my wife and we give birth to a child. So how do we know when I'm in union with Christ, when I've ascended to the top of the ladder and I'm one with him, is because life will start to come forth out of me. How do I know that the West is a lot of carnality? Because I don't see life. I hear a lot of words.
Yeah.
I see some soul movement, and I see some God, because God is everywhere.
Yes.
He's moving. But I don't see what I said in Corinthians, where people are running because of the glory coming off our faces.
Well, and I don't believe that we've ever seen, like, the number one thing that changed my life was when I realized God does not confirm men.
No.
He confirms himself.
Yeah.
And so you can have a guy speak and God's speaking through him, but yet it's not him. No. He's just a man. He's a vessel.
He's a vessel.
A broken vessel.
Broken and contrite heart, David said, right?
Yeah, well, and some of them are even, it's just the mercy of God pouring through them to reach somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's like God will do what he has to do. Like he moved through Saul. Why? Because he loved the children of Israel.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he wanted them to have a king. But it's because he still loved them, and he was like, I'm going to still use this guy.
Yeah.
Even if he's not even the guy I want to use.
And then I'll give you David later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you'll see the difference.
Yeah.
Because a king who knows that he shouldn't be king serves his people, yeah. doesn't demand servants of them.
That's it. And he's the servant of all.
Like, when I see God touch somebody through my life, I don't put a chalk mark on my board and say, wow, look what I did.
Right.
I'm in awe that God could use someone like me to do this.
I know.
Like, it's just, it's unbelievable that that's how good he is. That he takes that which should be broken and thrown away, and he just saves it.
I know.
And like, and not even just because of bad choice, just because, like, dude, like, nothing, like, of my life, my family, like, all this stuff where I come from and what I should be perpetuating and, you know, like, all these things, like, it just, there was no hope at all.
Right.
And I've seen so much life. Like, I was just thinking today, like, he was bringing back to remembrance to me just the last 3 years of just how much life he has brought out of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you do that? Like, I literally have, like, thousands of encounters and stories. And and I'm sitting there going, man, I need to focus more because I ain't seeing this all the time.
No.
I'm believing a different report.
Yeah.
Because that's real. That happened.
That's the real person.
Yeah. Like, it's nuts. Like, it's, yeah. Mm-hmm. The fire book. I got to start reading that.
There we go. Stepping into the bush, right?
That was good. And the love, man. Burning that away. That's
yeah, the wrath of God.
Yeah. I encourage you guys to subscribe on YouTube. It's a much better platform for you to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Easier on phones and things than Facebook is. YouTube.com/GraceAndTruthJBrown. You can find the library all there. Also, there's some other great stuff there, too, that you should check out because God's been doing good things for a long time.
Yeah, there's some good drunken times back there. Sneaky Angels is pretty crazy. So, yeah. Bless you guys.
See you next week.
See you next week.